Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we're continuing. This will be the final sermon on this. When a mother has a sick child, it is marvelous how quick her ears become while attending it. Good woman, we wonder she does not fall asleep. If you hired a nurse, it is 10 to 1 she would. But the dear child in the middle of the night does not need to cry for water or even speak. There's a little quick breathing. Who will hear it? No one except the mother. But her ears are quick, for they are in her child's heart. Even so, if there is a heart in the world that longs for the things of God, God's ear is already in that poor sinner's heart. He will hear it. There is not a good desire on earth, but the Lord has heard it. Here tonight, as we look at God's Word again, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. That Jesus Christ is giving the disciples a manner with which to pray. He's giving them a heart approach, and this passage of Scripture is emphasizing how I am to approach the Lord. The consecration of my heart, if you would. It's an amazing prayer as you see it, but it's the focus of Jesus Christ is that the heart of the individual approaching unto God would do so in a way that He lays out right here. It's kind of a template of our approach to God more than it is of the exact words with which we're bringing to the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We'll read verses 9 through 15. Verses 9 through 13 would be the categorized characteristically as the Lord's Prayer. But let's look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so Jesus Christ gives it, as He says, this manner is the position and the placement of my heart as I come before the throne of the Almighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and my Savior. It starts off, as we have looked at, with a praise and then a submission of heart. Thy kingdom come. The complete submission of God, let your will be done. God, I want you to take control of this day and every day. It's a resignation. God, I'm completely yielded to you today. I'll do what you want me to do today as you lead me. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My plans today are to do your plans. And so, as we look at this, and as I finish up in our study of this very passage of Scripture, it's been an incredible study, I know for me personally, in my own personal study, really considering the approach to God. It is so easy that we can just come to God and begin to bring our requests. And God does call us, in Hebrews, to come boldly into the throne of grace. But God has given us the approach, what is pleasing in His sight. How do I make my Father, my Daddy, in heaven? How do you make your Father in heaven pleased with you? And Jesus is giving us the formula, the manner with which I am to approach the Lord. It's an amazing study. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His blessing on this time, and then we'll resume our studies. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. And Lord, You're changing me. Lord, You encourage me when I need it. And Lord, life is difficult at times. But Father, I have a Father who listens. Father, I know that You're there. I know that You hear me. I know that Your Word encourages. And Lord, tonight I pray that You would once again speak to us through Your Word. God, help me to remove me from the side. You speak through me, and I'll be Your willing, yielded servant. And should there be anyone watching tonight that is not saved, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of salvation. Father, I yield it all to Thee. I love You, Lord Jesus. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. just a little thing as we think about this. I did mention in verse 9, it talks about our praises to God. It talks about in Psalms, Psalm 100, enter into His courts with thanksgiving. God wants us to bring, as you come into God's presence, bringing thanksgiving. And there are times where our hearts are broken, and I understand that. Then I'm coming in a submitted heart. God, I want Your will today. God, I want Your will for my life. And then we get to the part where He says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And I found this little interesting on this, and I have spoken about it, but I saw this illustration. I just wanted to bring it up for you. Dr. Helen Rosevier, missionary to Zaire, told the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure He also sent a doll," and she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request, and 5 months earlier, He had led His ladies' group at a church to include both of these specific articles. And it was provided on the exact day. Give us this day our daily bread. We find next, as you think about this, that God gives us what I need every day. As I come to His Word, He gives me the strength. He gives me the nuggets of truth that I need for that day. He gives me the food for that day. We also find, and lead us not into temptation. It says, you know, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I dealt with that. Then we find, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Another submission to the leadership of God. It is no self-sufficiency. Because if there is a self-sufficiency, it leads to a false sense of security wherein we are lured into a trap of sin. God, please help keep me from evil. It is a prayer of protection in Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's why when you're coming in prayer to God, You come with praise. You come with submission. If I'm coming in submission, I'm saying, God, You lead me in a way that will avoid the unnecessary temptations. God, You're leading my day, my thoughts, my actions. I want it all to You. I'm submitted. I hold nothing back. Because, as it said here in Romans 6:16, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey. So if I'm going to yield to the flesh, I'm going to yield to my desires and what I want, then I'm not submitted to God. A lack of prayer is a sure indicator that you're yielding to temptation. He goes on to say, but deliver us from evil. And here, again, is an imperative in the middle voice that lays the responsibility of deliverance squarely back upon the Father. God, I need You to deliver me from evil. You deliver me from my own fleshly desires. Protect me from my evil heart. Look with me at Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. A little bit of review and then we'll pick up. Should not be a very long message tonight, but in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know what? Our heart will lead us into great evil. And here in this prayer, as Jesus is mentioning to His disciples, He says, but deliver us from evil. God, I need to be delivered from the evil one who desires to tempt me. John 17:15, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil, from the evil, excuse me. It is a strong personal request with a full recognition that God has all power to strengthen me to resist evil. The prerequisites are praise, submission, dependence, right? Give us this day our daily bread. I'm saying, God, today I'm dependent upon you and you alone. And confession of sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then we find we're saying, God, I need you because I know my own wicked heart. I need you to help me, to deliver me from evil today. You see, all of us have within us an evil heart that wants to do what we want to do. But if I choose to lay it down and be submitted to Christ every day, it's a daily battle. That's why Paul would talk about taking up the cross. I die daily. There is a need to submit my will day in and day out to the Almighty One. Proverbs 4:23, the Almighty God. He's not just a one, but He's Almighty God. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. He says here in Proverbs, protect, guard, secure your heart with all diligence, because there's so many things that are seeking to attach to your heart, seeking your heart's affections. It can easily be the cares of this world. It can be money or all sorts of different things that can draw us to want to get away from God. If my heart is drawn after something else, it will not be submitted to God. In Job 23:11, Job would say, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. You see, God's steps and leadership I must request and follow. You need a leader. You need to be submissive to leadership. And if you cannot be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, you're not going to be in other parts of your lives. You've got to be willing to every day lead us not into temptation. God, I'm a follower. All of us need to be followers. None of us are leaders, if you would, in the sense, yes, you know, we have leadership positions here on earth, but all of us, you see, no great leader is a leader until they can learn to be first a follower. And things I remember back in military, you know, you think about those. If someone cannot be willing to do what those to whom they're commanding and leading do. Evangelist Gypsy Smith was asked what the secret of revival is. He said, go home, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself, and pray, oh Lord, revive everything inside this circle. And that's true. I need my heart daily revived. And I need to be submitted every day, day in and day out. Because the moment I fail to be submissive to God on that day. And that's why sometimes people say, well, I prayed at the end of the day. Well, did you start your day off in submission to God to let Him lead your day? Did you let God lead us not in temptation to deliver us from evil? God, I need you. God, I need you to take control of my mind, my thoughts, my words. You know, all of us have within us our hearts. And even throughout the day, there's temptations and challenges. Then as we close out this prayer, for thine is the kingdom. There is a rehearsal of praise, a rehearsal of submission and thankfulness. And you see, thankfulness is a lost art. In 1860, the Lady Elgin was rammed by the Augusta and sank in Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. A ministerial student named Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. And when I say here, for thine is the kingdom, I am saying, God, I am a subject with you as my ruler. Thank you, for thine is the kingdom. What happens if we approach God in a way where I'm resigning my plans, my ideas, my thoughts for the day? Satan may very well be the prince of the power of the air. But this world, God still has ultimate control. And one day, Satan will be removed from his authority upon this world. For thine is the kingdom, God. I end my prayer in submission to you for today. For thine is the kingdom. You're the king. You're my king. You're my true ruler. You're my governor. Yes, there's a government upon this world. Yes, there's a government here in Canada. There's a government in town, in the province. But God, you're my governor. You're my ruler. It is a submission and a praise, for thine is the kingdom. Oh God, I know that my time here on earth is short, and I'm looking forward to the time I'm permanently in your kingdom in heaven. When we think about this, as we draw this prayer to the close, that for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, he is saying you have all power. Satan has no power. I'd like you to look with me at James chapter 4, verse 7. Many times we talk about in a spiritual warfare realm, Satan is really giving me a hard time. We find that we'll say all sorts of things, but understand this, and I know in my own life, Satan does desire to cause us to proceed forward for the Lord. I know in coming in this tent meeting, my mind and thoughts have, within the last little while, man, it has been a battle like I have. It's been intense, very intense. And that's why as I thought about this little sheet we have here, preparation for personal revival, I thought, oh God, may I not be the hindrance to you working in this tent meeting. I don't want not only just the tent meeting, but in services. Man, there's been battles. My mind has just been like, I feel like I've been going through just some challenging times in my mind and nothing inherently going wrong, but just the battle upon my mind. God's been reinforcing some things to me, continually letting me know, Chris, you need to continue to praise me. Don't ever forget to praise me. Chris, I'm in control. As I do my daily devotions and I'm there in God's Word. And James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to your hard times. No, it doesn't say that. Submit yourselves to the circumstances you're in. No, it doesn't say that. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God is saying, listen, in this, as he does in this prayer, where is your submission? We find that Jesus was subservient. Actually, excuse me, let me rephrase that. Satan is subservient to God. In Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus Christ there in the wilderness temptation, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus is God, so make that correction. But he was always obedient to the Father's will. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus is saying, Satan, you need to worship the one true God. You might think you're in control. You might think you want me to bow down, but you're already a loser. I mean, you've already lost. You're already a loser. I already know the end of the fight. And the Bible tells us, well, so what I'm saying, for thine is the kingdom, the power. I'm saying Jesus is in control. And I'm thankful that he's in the control. I'm thankful that Satan doesn't have power and control over me. I'm thankful that I don't have to give in to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of the life. I am saying thine is the power, that I have the victory because I've submitted myself to you. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Faith in God's power and promises is my defense. Resist steadfast in the faith. For thine is the kingdom and the glory. For thine... As it mentions here, as you go into this passage, for thine is the kingdom and the power. Oh, my friend, I'm saying, God, thank you for being in control. Thank you the fact that I don't have to lead. I don't got to figure it all out. I just need to follow. I want to thank you that He's not a God that sleeps, nor is He absent from my life. Here is a praise to God being into control. It's a resignation of my will that God, as much as I may try to do my own will in this life, I can't control all of the steps. And then we get, "For thine is the power and the glory forever." Wow. Right, as it mentions here, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Everything in this world is supposed to bring God praises and adoration. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, look with me here. 1 Chronicles, going back to the Old Testament. 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. So 1 Chronicles 29, 11. When we think about glory, and actually I was on our Wednesday night study, we'll be on the fear of the Lord, and there was an illustration in there, and I'll kind of give you a preview for Wednesday nights, but it just reminded me of this very thing. If someone, you know, he was talking about trying to restore, I think, an old vehicle, and you know, put a powerful engine in it, and just get it really souped up, and just get this old classic car. Where does the praises come when that car is put into position of great power and beauty and all that? Wow, you're a master artist. There is a semblance of trying to draw attention to myself. The Bible tells us as believers to take praises, anything I'm doing, and to heap it upon the one to whom it really belongs. The praises don't belong upon me. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Woo! When I'm working, you know what, as a pastor, you want to think about it, and I'm preaching God's Word. I'm just really plagiarizing what God is. I'm giving you what God's already given to us. It's His words. So if there's a good message, God gave you the message. And I'm continually praying, "God, help me to feed your people. You give me the message to feed your people." You see, the world is not about me. I'm not trying to heap praises upon ourselves to make me feel good. Because as much as I might feel good, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people give you praises and then you get 50 praises and one negative and you're like, "Ah!" But that's never been about us. Look with me at Numbers 14:21. We as believers are to reflect and point people to Him. So if I'm a great worker where I'm at and I'm doing great work, God's given me the abilities to do that. I want to take whatever is done in my life, I want to say, "God did it." You know what? You're like, "Wow, you're such a faithful, you know, amazing worker." And you know what? Every day you go to work, there's days you're like, "I quit. I'm done. I can't handle it." But you labor through it and you say, "God, give me the strength for this day." And when someone says, "Wow, you did an amazing job," you said, "I want to praise my God for the strength to accomplish what He called me to do." Because it's not about me. And you know what? If there's things in the day and you're struggling, I'm just saying, "God, you give me what I need today so that your name can be glorified before the lost. So that people will see that there is a true God." When you go to work, you give it your all. You do your best. It's not a half-hearted attempt. You see, Christians ought to be the best workers with the best attitudes, irrespective of those to whom they interact with. Because we're not working for the man. We're not working for men or women. We're working to bring praises and glory to the God of all. Numbers 14:21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the world, of the Lord. Excuse me. This world is not about me. And then we find the glory forever. Do not lose sight of who God is. Realize He is forever. And He needs to be praised, adored, and exalted as such. My immediate struggles and my requests are finite compared to His infinite nature and His kingdom. In Psalm 145, verse 13, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. As I mentioned this morning, speaking about prophecy and thinking about the end, it energizes us, it encourages us, it challenges us, it motivates us. Because I'm saying I'm just passing through this life. When I think about thine is the kingdom and the glory forever, I am saying it's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. I want to make Him look good before the lost. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they say about me. But I do care what they think about my God by how I work and how I live out my life. That is the focus here. Christ is without end. He is coming back to perfectly reign. He knows all of space and time. Here is the praises as to God's unchangeable, immovable eternality. Look with me at Psalm 10:16. I trust this is encouraging your heart tonight. I trust that it encourages and challenges you to get a focus for why we're doing what we do. You know what? We have to work to make money, to put food on the table and to pay our bills and pay our taxes and all sorts of different things we have to do. But if I do it with a begrudging, moaning fashion, then I'm only doing it for myself. In Psalm 10:16, the Lord is King forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of His land. He's my King and He's yours. The one whom I seek to please is forever and not some instantaneous, impulsive passion. My King is forever. How do you like it if you have in your family, maybe one of your kids, and we're working with this with our daughter, but just stop whining. I mean, just whine. Just stop whining all the time, you know? And there's a work. We are whiners. Oh, my back hurts. You know, get up in the morning, you're like, oh. Different parts of your body's hurt, and the older you are, the more you hurt, and other things. And, you know, we can whine. Our Father, as I come to Him in prayer, and I begin to say, Lord, I might have some bad happening, but Lord, what can I praise You for? You know, if somebody comes to you and they come with a good attitude and they come with appreciation, you're much more apt to listen. Now, I'm not saying that God won't listen, but I am saying that it's a lot more pleasant, and we're created in God's image. The one whom I seek to please is forever. In Matthew 26:29, the ending resolves to look forward to the hope of God's eternal kingdom, just as Christ did in the upper room. I want you to look with me in Matthew 26:29. Jesus, as He's about ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, about ready to be betrayed and given over, what does He say to His disciples? Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon of discipleship. If you want to be a good Christian, the Sermon on the Mount and following Christ's commands here is a good way to do it. In Matthew 26:29, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hallelujah. Whew! I get to be with Him in His kingdom someday. We're going to have a royal supper. I don't care, the best Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal or whatever meal you've ever had. I get to be up there with my Savior. Look with me at Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. You see, this world may make us think about how bad it is, and it is bad. It's an evil, evil, wicked world. I mean, the whole idea of trying for people to scapegoat around we can't tell how many genders there are. That is just craziness. That's craziness. It's wickedness. And God's allowed it. Daniel 4:34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar was made a beast. He looked foolish. He lifted himself up with pride. Look at all that I've done. And God said, okay, you're going to go be a beast out in the field. Then you'll see where you're at. He goes on to say, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. You see, when we get a right perspective of God, we will praise Him. We will praise God if we get a right perspective of God. An individual and a Christian who can't praise God is a Christian who has a wrong view of God. Look with me at Psalm 116. So as I'm concluding my prayer, I am saying, God, I want to praise You. There is nothing that brings Satan more dissatisfaction than for me to heap praises upon the One to whom it's due. Psalm 116, because He wanted to be like the Most High. And so when I'm not giving, He's okay with me living life my way. He's okay with me being a mediocre Christian. He's okay with me giving into the flesh. He's okay with all of that. But He does not like for me to give God the praises that He so rightfully deserves. In Psalm 116, verse 12, I was reading this week. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant and Thy son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Praises start the prayer and they finish the prayer. But He's also saying in this passage of Scripture, if this is God's house, the church is God's house, it ought to be a place where there's praises resounding. Because we have a God in heaven. Praises ought to come out of our lips. If we truly have it's not just an activity in the church. It's an act of my worship to God. To praise Him who is worthy. It ought to be in my personal time. It ought to be in our corporate time to praise God. It is a part of our worship. In conclusion, in fewer than 70 words, we find a masterpiece of the infinite mind of God, who alone could compress every conceivable element of true prayer into such a brief and simple form, a form that even a young child can understand, but the most mature believer cannot fully comprehend. End quotes, Rod Mattoon. It is in this prayer that we find the key to power with God and closeness to Him. There is no part of this prayer that is given to just some repetitive or repeated congregational recitation or reciting of this prayer. As we would all, many times people all say it all together. But Jesus said after this manner, I'm not approaching God as some religious activity. I'm approaching Him first, as we said here, our Father. He's mine. It's relational. He's yours. For all those who recite this prayer as a mantra, a performance of religion, they stand in stark contrast to the manner with which Christ admonished His disciples to pray. You cannot corrupt this prayer to being a secret key to the heart of God when the manner of the prayer is vain, repetitive, and idle chatter. You find back And just before this, I find it very amazing. Matthew chapter 6, look at me here. Matthew 6, 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. God is not pleased when I just say some words. Don't call it, we can re-recite scripture, but I'm not calling it a prayer. I want to memorize, and we do it. It's a good thing to do, to just kind of memorize it. You know, when we're reciting scripture, and here is our verse of the month, you're hearing it, you're seeing it, you know, you're reading it. There's all sorts of senses why we're doing it, to help get God's word into your heart. But in this sense here, when everyone all just says, let's all stand up and say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And it just goes on. We're losing the manner with which Christ was calling us to pray to Him. And may the expression of my love to God be the pattern of prayer, which is the following. It starts off with praises, submission of heart, requests, which is your provision. You ask God to forgive you, protection, leadership, and then you conclude with praises again. If we merely approach God in the manner of a vending machine or as a genie, then we display how little we know of Him. May the praises of God and complete submission of my heart be the key to the privilege of requesting from God. Don't forget to let God's praises be your aim and not your selfish pursuits. When you think about the Lord's Prayer, it is saying, God, here's my life. I'm so thankful for you. It's your kingdom that's coming. It's your kingdom that I'm in control, that I'm under now. I'm under. I know Satan's the ruler of this world, but you're ultimately in control. And my friend, it ought to affect every area of my life. When I'm doing my prayer time with God, why don't we just start with praising God? That's what He's called us to do. In obedience, thanksgiving to Him, submission of heart. You know what? If we begin to become submissive to God, He'll lead us in ways we would have never imagined, but we'll also see blessings and fruit we never could have thought conceivable. There's no cookie-cutter prayers allowed. And as we come to God in prayer tonight, we'll come to a time of invitation. I'll have Mrs. Pat come forward if I could, please. I just want all of us, as we think about this very truth, what a privilege it is that we have to come before the Creator who made us, the Savior who redeemed us. We're blessed people. May we never take it for granted. May we approach Christ in the right manner, after this manner, as He called us to do. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I trust as God spoke to your heart tonight as the music plays, that you would just be willing to respond however God leads you tonight. Just a time with heads bowed and eyes closed as you pray. You can never go wrong in just doing what God wants you to do. He's given us the key to His heart. May we fully submit and yield what He's called us to do. You have your hymn book, would you turn with me and So we'll do 361. We'll just sing.